that particular power that Paul is praying for is the power of expectation. That when you start expecting God to do something great, God says expectation is the first ingredient to manifestation. And this year, if you want to see some things manifest in your life, you're going to have to start with having the right expectation. My brothers and sisters, expectation lets us know that we're not in a race with anybody else, but I'm in a race all by myself. And that's why I don't have to let the effect and the pace of others intimidate me, because I understand what God has for me. If I would just stay in expectation, is going to be for me. And I want to help some of you out this year. Listen, when other people are getting their breakthroughs and when people that don't even know the Lord or seem like they're beginning to prosper, that ain't the time to talk about them. But that's the time not to be intimidated, but to be motivated. To say, Lord, if you blessing them like that, and I know that they ain't thinking about you, they ain't going to nobody's church, they ain't acknowledging you in any area of your life, you just speaking to me and letting me know that if I would just hold on, you're going to do something even better in my life as well. I wish I had a witness today. It's confirmation to you when you see other people getting blessed that God is still in the blessing business. Because sometimes along the line of life, as we are expecting and waiting, we can get weary thinking that God has forgot about us. But I begin to see what God is doing in your life. Not only am I shouting for you, but I'm shouting that my God is still faithful to perform his word. I wish I had somebody that believed this today. Because watch this, God is just saying, I want to do more in your life, but first I have to get you to heighten your expectation. Touch a neighbor right now and tell them, lift your expectation. That's it. Touch the other and tell them, lift your expectation. Amen. Because watch this, people who have small expectation usually receive the manifestation of smallness. But there's some of you right now, all your life you've been having big expectation. All your life you've been having big taste. You've been always looking at stuff you couldn't afford, and you had tastes that went beyond your budget. Why? Because you have an extreme expectation that you shall have the best in life. Because that's what the word of God says. This year, my brothers and sisters, as we heighten our expectation, the Lord told me to tell somebody in here today that he's going to bless you, and it's going to be a ridiculous blessing. I'm just casting vision today. Amen. Touch somebody and say ridiculous. Amen. That's it. Touch somebody else. Say ridiculous. It's going to be ridiculous. It's going to be one of those blessings where you just have to shake your head and say, God, you have done it again. You've blown my mind. Anybody ever had God to blow your mind like that? And some of you, that's why you're in church today, because you've had God to turn some things around. But be careful this morning, because I wanted to come in and put you on a level ground so that you won't experience this disappointment, and so that you won't experience this defeat this year. Our expectation must be coupled with understanding. If you're writing, that's a good place to write down. I'm lecturing right now. Expectation must be coupled with understanding. Let's all say that together. Expectation. There you go. One more again. Expectation must be coupled with understanding. Yes. Which means expectation cannot take place until you have a proper understanding. When you have a misunderstanding of a person's ability, then you can create false expectations and thus set yourself up to be disappointed. See, my brothers and sisters, you can start expecting certain things from certain people that don't have the capacity to produce what you're expecting, and that's when you have what's called a faith failure. Let me see if I can make it plain. When a person expects a cat to bark and a dog to meow, the fact that they were disappointed was not with the cat or the dog. But the fact that they were disappointed was because they put an expectation on the cat and the dog that they could not deliver. Am I making this plain for you this morning? That when you are expecting your spouse to be your source of happiness, it ain't your spouse's fault that you are miserable. It's your fault, because God told you you shouldn't trust in no man, but all of your trust should be in Jesus. I wish I had a witness in here today. When you are expecting your intellect and your know-how to open doors for you and to get you into certain streams of blessing, you're setting yourself up for failure, because you're putting yourself in a position expectation for something that can let you down. But when you begin to get a revelation that I don't need to put my trust in man, I don't need to put my trust in myself, I don't even need to put my trust in my money, because the way the economy going, money can be here today and we can have one little dip and it'll be gone tomorrow, because I'm not expecting anything from myself, but all of my expectation is going to come from he who is able to keep me from falling. I feel like preaching already. That when you put your expectation in God, you cannot be disappointed. Boy, touch somebody right now and say, this year you will not be disappointed. Amen. That's it. Because some of you have learned now. But when they told you they was always going to be there for you and they were going to be with you through thick or thin, but when it got thick, they got thin, you found out I can't put my expectation in a man no more, because a man got issues by himself. Oh, but somewhere I read in the Bible that Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you even until the end of the earth. Because Jesus will be with you when everybody else talking about you. Jesus will be with you when he know all the facts about you and still look past all your faults and meet you at your point of need. I have somebody in here today to say, God is my expectation. That's it, baby. I don't need a wife to make me happy. I don't need a car to make me happy. But the joy of the Lord has become my strength. Oh, God, the salvation of Jesus Christ has become my song all the day long. See, the reason why many people never see their vision come to pass is because they have false expectations. And this year, listen, I don't want you to have a false expectation. I don't want you to be in relationships saying this person will never disappoint me because I know them. No, you don't. Because they don't even know themselves. Because if they will tell you the real truth, sometimes they look at what they do, what they say, and what they think and say, Lord, how in the world could I think that, say that, or do that? So you got to make sure you're not setting yourself up to be disappointed when you put your trust in somebody else. Say, now my expectation is from the Lord. Say it again. My expectation is from the Lord. Come on, y'all. Y'all got to get this now. This is my assignment this morning. Say it. My expectation is from the Lord. I know you got a nice, comfortable job right now. You got a nice flow of income coming in, but don't expect that. That job is a resource, but God is your source. Come on, y'all. I know you got a nice relationship and you're being fulfilled in it, but don't get too caught up in it, because all it takes is one bad argument and the whole thing go up in smoke. You got to make sure that your expectation is in the right place. And right here in Acts chapter number 12, we can learn some things about expectation, because the Bible is talking about, I misspoke that in last service. The Bible is talking about Peter. I said about Paul, but the Bible is talking about Peter and how it is that Peter now has been going around preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Y'all remember that if you read, I believe it's right along Acts chapter number 3, chapter number 4. The Bible says after Jesus had left, they were all gathered in the upper room. And the Bible says, watch this, they were all on one accord. And then there came a sound as if the rushings of wind, and they were slain in the spirit. And that all of them had tongues. They were speaking in another language. Y'all remember that? And the Bible said it was that day. We call it the day of Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit came and imbued them. Amen. And as they were in this time of Pentecost, the Bible says Peter began to stand up and preach. And when Peter, this anointed man of God, began to stand up and preach, the Bible says 3,000 people were added to the church on the first day. Amen. That's how I know that God don't want no small church. Because God is saying, if you would just lift Jesus up, I'll draw folks into you. That's just my personal revelation. But as Peter went around, the Bible says he was so anointed, Leanne, that his very shadow allowed people to get healed. Yes, Lord. That Peter, watch this, that God, because his life was converted and changed, when he walked past people who were sick, his very shadow that was cast upon them had enough anointing in it to heal people who was just in his presence. Y'all better get this today, because this year God wants to do some things in your life that's not going to be contained to you. But everybody that comes in your atmosphere is going to leave out different.
different. They're going to leave out change because you're going to have a whole new atmosphere on you. I wish I had a witness in here today. You're going to notice negative folks going to start leaving your life. As you turn up the heat in your life, you're going to notice folks that's really playing church, they're going to start having a problem with you because there's going to be an anointing that's so rich that it's going to burn up everything that is not like God. Some of you right now, this is the year as you turn it up, God is saying everybody in your house is going to have to change. I don't want you to get misconstrued by what you're saying, but keep on turning it up. You watch how that man going to start coming to church with you. You watch how that child's life going to be changed. You watch how your loved ones are going to be saved because of the anointing that's on your life. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm starting to expect it already. I believe God is going to perform his word in my life. But be careful now. Be careful. Be careful. Please be careful. Because when you start living for God, godly living is promised persecution. Did you get that? So the first thing you can expect this year, don't get nervous. Don't leave out. Don't put your Baptist finger up and walk out, please. But the first thing that you can expect is you can expect an attack. All right, I know what you're saying. You can't be speaking that over to people like, Pastor, you can't, no. I just don't want you to get caught up in the okey-doke. I don't want you to think because you all amped up on the vision that God has given you this year that everybody's going to be happy. But because the Bible says Peter was doing good. But there was another group of people, the Bible says, watch this, that didn't like it because Peter was changing lives. Let me help somebody. Don't think that everybody that was praying for you to change is going to be happy when change finally shows up. Come here, let me help you now. Don't have an expectation that folks that you thought was going to rejoice with you when you got your breakthrough, don't be shamed when they are the ones that's stabbing you in the back. Because some of us are looking like, didn't you pray for me to change? Didn't you pray for my life to go to the next level? So why are you persecuting me like this? Because whenever you have godly living, it's promised persecution. Pastor, you got to show me that in the word. I don't believe you. Look what it says in chapter 12 and verse 1. The Bible says, now about that time, Herod, the king, the president, the evil ruler, he stretched out his hand to harass some from where? But where did he harass them at? The church. See, you can expect an attack. Some of you, you have not experienced this level of attack that you're experiencing now until you got serious about the work of the church. Some of you, as a matter of fact, and I don't say this braggadociously, but by the unction of God's spirit, the attack on your life when you join Beacon Light intensified. Because when you join a place that's anointed, a place that's going to help you grow, a place that's going to expand your understanding of God, the devil understands I got to attack them or else they're going to begin to tear my kingdom down. Come on, y'all don't look at me like that. I had the same testimony that as soon as I connected with a ministry like this, the first folks start tripping was my family. The first ones was, why you going down there to that church? You grew up in this church all your life. We all preaching Jesus. No, but there's a different anointing and there's a place for everybody to be planted. I wish I had a witness in here today. And so you had to endure the attacks from your family because of what God was doing in your life. The Bible says, watch it. The Bible says that Herod stretched out his hand and he began to attack the church because of the good stuff that they were doing. Now, this wasn't the first time that Herod did this, because this Herod that we are reading about, it was his granddaddy who sought to kill Jesus. Y'all remember the story? The Bible says before Jesus was even born, that Herod sent out people to murder all the firstborns because he knew that if I don't stop him, something is going to happen. Okay, I got another. It was Herod's father who beheaded John the Baptist. His grandson beheaded James the Apostle. And now here it is, Peter is awaiting execution after the Passover because of the goodness that he is doing. See, Peter's life is an example of Satan's hatred of godly progress. Now, let me bring some clarity to your chaos. See, expect the devil to do his job, because the devil is assigned to disrupt our progress. And the reason why he is going to disrupt our progress is because he always attacks that which he is afraid will grow. that if he understands you are in a season and in a position where something in your life is about to grow, about to expand, about to be productive, that's when he's going to release all the devils from the gates of hell to try and impede your progress. That's why when some of y'all was at the other church falling asleep every week, you weren't having nothing happening in your life because he knew you wasn't going to grow. He understood that you was only going to pop in there one every other month to check a box to say, I went to church. But the moment you start coming to Bible study and the moment you start reading your Bible at home by yourself, the moment you start getting a prayer life, that's when he had to turn up the intensity on his attack because he knew you were about to grow. Amen. I need somebody in here right now. If you know you've been growing over the last few years, you better give. You might as well give God the praise, because you know what? If I got to get attacked for me to grow in God, if I go through, I'm going to go through. Hallelujah. If I go through, I'm going to grow through. I'm going to be stronger when I come out of this. I'm going to be wiser when I come out of this. I'm going to have more than I had when I went in it. The Bible says, watch this now, that in verse number 5, that Herod, he bound Peter in prison. He put Peter in a place of bondage. Prison is simply a place of limitation and restriction. That's what the devil wants to do with you when he comes to attack your life. I didn't want you to be all jittery with joy this morning and think that you weren't going to experience attack. I just wanted you to have a right expectation today. I just wanted you to have a right expectation of what to expect this year. Expect the devil to do some stuff. Okay, I don't want you to get snuck. I don't want you to get caught off guard. I want you to be looking every day. That's why the Bible says you got to be vigilant. You got to be sober-minded. You can't be walking around talking about God's about to bless me. No, because whenever God want to bless you, the devil going to start messing with you. You got to understand that an attack is coming somewhere. So Satan says, I know that I'm going to get an attack. I'm going to brace myself for it. Well, why I got to get an attack, Pastor? Because you didn't know when you joined this church, you signed up for the Lord's army. You didn't know when you became a Christian, you put on the uniform of the Lord's army, and every now and again what the devil will do is he will shoot and take a shot at you because you got the other team's uniform on. He's saying that you can expect an attack because an attack is the devil's reaction to your progress. See, don't get nervous. I didn't say that the attack was going to harm you. I didn't say the attack was going to be able to prosper. Because somewhere I read in the word that no weapon which is formed against me is going to be able to prosper. I wish I had a witness, because some of y'all was a little nervous. I got to go. No. See, the Christian life is not a place for cowards. The Christian life is not a place for people who are afraid to fight. No, because when you join up and you sign up here, you still know how to fight. You just fight on another level. You just fight with different weapons. You just fight from a different advantage point. And what God is saying, that the protection we have is that God has already declared that no weapon that is formed against you is going to be able to prosper. Help your neighbor out, because they was the ones that was nervous. Touch them and say, it won't prosper. Amen. That's it. Touch somebody and say, it won't prosper. Amen. You can sleep at night because the weapon will not prosper. Okay. You can sleep because God has drawn a line in the sand, and he's saying, devil, you can attack their stuff, but you ain't going to mess with their spirit. They're still going to have the connection that they used to have. Somebody say, expect an attack.